You're listening to the Red Diamond Courier, an Elder Scrolls podcast. Here are your hosts, Bob Chichinski and Dog Bark 24.
Welcome everyone to episode 90 of the Red Diamond Courier. I am here with you as always, your host Bob Chichinski, here with my good friend and co-host Dogged Bark 24. Dogged, what is up, my dude? How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, it's going great for me because I have got to experience High Isle today. And it was amazing, but for someone like you who's waiting till console release, it must be, you know, just not that so great, right?
Yeah, well, it's just like another day.
Well, except considering
I have to wait all day, so
yeah, considering it didn't come up till quite later in the day, yeah, it wasn't too big of a deal, I guess, for you. But all jokes aside, it was the release day for High Isle. It definitely did not go the way Zoss was hoping for, unfortunately. But it did get live here in the later evening, and it is absolutely fantastic. I will not gush over it too much because we will do that for this entire month, I'm sure. So it's awesome, though. I'm in love, and we'll just leave it there and move on because we have a billion things to talk about tonight. Because, guys, we have one of our favorite absolute episodes that we only get to do four times a year. Patch Notes episode number two of this year. We had Ascending Tide, and now we have High Isle and update 34. So we're gonna be talking all about it today. Super freaking excited. And we're just gonna get into it as fast as we can. Of course, though, we have been away for a couple weeks, so we're gonna hit news and Cyrodiil stuff too first. So Dog, let's get right into it, man. Let's drop some news on the people.
All right, well, first up, we have the Get Ready for High Isle community event going on. You can earn lots of different Twitch drops from June 2nd to June 9th. You can get the Ghostly House Cat Pet and two Ouroboros crates. From June 10th to June 15th, you can get a... Where is it? From June 10th to June 15th, you can get another two Ouroboros crates and the Grim Harvester costume. And from June 16th and June 26th, you can get another two Ouroboros crates, the Ghostly House Cat Pet, the Grim Harvester costume, and the Sun Gold Bay Thoroughbred Horse Mount. So,
yeah, that's really cool. And I like how they give you a chance to get each separately. And then the last one, it's like, all right, well, like, you have a chance to get the ones you missed. Plus, if you go above and beyond and watch 8 hours of streams, you get this extra cool thing. So that's pretty cool. I like that. And plus, one other thing is the Grim Harvester costume came out during Elsewhere, and it was like the little Elsewhere celebration later in the year, like the dragon something celebration. And like, if the community did X amount of stuff, like killed so many dragons or whatever, we got these cool things. And one of them was the Grim Harvester costume. That was the only way to get it. So if you missed it then, now is a great chance to get that. So make sure you're going and watching streams with drops enabled. Definitely any ESO stream team member is going to be on there. I mean, just go, you know, watch any of our favorites. You know, you got Madigan, T the Khajiit, my boy Zyno, is always one of my favorites to watch. Any of the, you know, main ones, you go just chill on their stream for a bit. It will log your process towards your drops, so yeah, it's really good. I already got my drops for the Ghostly House Cat and the Crown Crates, and as Dogged in the pre-show can confirm, On EU, I get to open a walloping 7 Ouroboros current crates, and I got 0 cinch mounts. So there you go. Still don't have one of those anywhere. And Doc has 7, but it is what it is.
Yeah. As it should be, I mean. Do we as really want Biop to be getting stuff? Like, no, we don't.
That's what Zoss says in their meetings, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Doug. They so know. What else do we got?
All right. So we have Stream Team streams. And pretty much just check out the live streams of Stream Team members. And you can win, you know, amazing prizes like crown packs, copies of the High Isle chapter, and more. When I was on Tia the Khajiit stream, she was giving out High Isle torch bugs and I think a Guar or Bantam Guar or something like that. And that was today, so that's pretty cool. Yep. I didn't win any of them, but
I know, right? I was gonna say we gotta get you High Isle there, man. I know it's tough having to buy it on 2 systems, dog. I had to do it myself. I tell you guys I caved and bought it the other night so I could have Blackwood. I did that.
Dang.
Yeah, on Xbox, so I could get Gaze of Sithis, and then I realized that now I'll probably never get Gaze of Sithis for 28 days from that freaking Dark Brothered benefactor. What a stupid drop. Whatever. Let's not tangent on that. We got enough to talk about. But yes, definitely. All kinds of great, amazing giveaways going on right now with the Stream Team on their streams and on Twitter. Guys, Twitter giveaways are freaking popping off. If you don't have a Twitter, just to like, follow, retweet, and comment on someone's thing to maybe win a free month of ESO Plus or a Torchbug pet or a, I don't know. They're giving away all kinds of cool stuff. And I make sure on our Red Diamond account at Red Diamond Cast to retweet just a lot of that stuff, just to make sure I get it out to all our followers. So that's a great place to just, you know, if Twitter isn't your thing, it doesn't have to be. It could just be a thing where you could just follow us and I'll make sure that you guys get access to those giveaways. You could just go and enter them at your own pace or whatever. So there's a lot of good stuff going on right now. Now's a great time to get just into it. All of June, it's gonna be good because it's gonna be a big 2 weeks for us, and then boom, drop is on console too. And there's a lot of big console content creators and stuff. A lot of big console content creators and stuff. I mean, look at us. We started as dedicated console content creators, and now it's a bit of a mix, but yeah, there you go. Hey, that's some news too, dog. I got a Xbox Series S, not the biggest, most awesome one, but the second most awesome one, and I will confirm that, oh my god, Elder Scrolls Online is so good on the series, on the Xbox Series, whatever. It's amazing. To be fair, I'm coming from the oldest possible Xbox, like day one Xbox One launch, that gratefully I got from our good friend Grammaton Dryad, because my other one took a crap and I would have been screwed. But he sent me his old one. I played that for a few years, and now I'm upgrading about 10 years of equipment, and wow, ESO is amazing. It's just as good as my PC, and it's reinvigorated my love for it over there on Xbox, so I've been having so, so much fun. And then, of course, they're like, well, here's High Isle, so now I've been playing on PC all day and just loving it over there, so it's really cool. I'm finding a love for both, and it's something I've never got to experience yet, and I'm digging it.
Yeah, the Series X makes ESO really great. Much better than PC, especially if, you know, you're playing on a laptop. So,
especially when you're playing on, like, like laptop someone would take to, like, college and write notes on.
Yeah. Very lightweight.
Lightweight.
Yeah, but it weighs less than 1 kilogram. I don't know what that means, but
Well, you know, measurements are hard. We aren't, you know, math or science majors or whatever. All right, dog. Do we have more news?
Yeah, we have lots of news. Okay. Yeah, so I hit 2,000 CP recently, so that's pretty amazing.
That is amazing. I was there for it, and I pointed it out, and I was jealous. And just to be fair, I definitely have, you know, like 2,700 CP if you combine my Xbox and PC accounts, but they don't. So, dogged hit 2,000 first, and GG, bro. That's awesome, yeah. Man.
I'm amazed. Like 1,600 more to go.
Oh my god, dude! Please don't hit 3,000 before I hit 2,000. I'll just have to. Yeah, I'll just like have a
full walk of shame.
Yeah, I'll just have to do something, man. No, I don't
if
know.
I get 1,000 CP before you get like what 600, that's just bad.
Yeah, but to be fair, you have not played on PC like at all in recent times. You've been like focused on Xbox.
Yeah. But I also have like 1,200 CP on PC.
On PC,
CP, PC. Those are confusing.
Okay, well then in total I'm only like 500 behind you. It's a bit less than the 600 I'm actually behind you.
Yeah.
Cuts it down a little bit. But yes, that was dope, man. And grats on that, no doubt.
Alright, there's going to be an ESO Live this Friday. I think it's from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. I think, as far as I could tell, they didn't actually have a time. There's just a confusing table that was very complex and confusing. But mainly, it's just because I'm dumb and I can't read tables. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that'll
if
be
you. If you're better at reading tables, which you probably are, yeah, you might be able to pull off more information than I can.
I'm better at eating on tables, but I don't know about reading them. But that will be Friday, June 10th, the last day of my 20s, officially. Saturday is my birthday. So this is the last podcast of my... Actually, no, it's not, because we're going to break this one into two episodes. So I get one more in my 20s, but... this is the last week of my 20s, so you guys live vicariously through me for one more week, and then well, if you're older than me, that is, and then after that, you know, we're all just old together, so it is what it is. Dog, then we'll all live vicariously through Dog, because he's still like, I don't know what, you're still not 25 yet, right, Dog?
Right.
Okay, thank god. Yeah,
years.
He's still doing good. He can drink though, so you know. Who knows if he has yet, but he can.
I can drink, yeah.
You can, yeah.
Yeah, I can. I don't drink, but...
It's okay. I drink enough for both of us. I'm just kidding. Kind of. But he's all not. Right. So, what else do we have in the news?
All right. Well, we also have... Oh, yeah. I got the Gaze of Sithis mask, and I properly showed Bob how to use it, which, you know, of course, was by destroying it, because how else would you use it? Like, I don't want to get bombed. I don't want other people to be bombed because of my, you know, lack of being able to block properly. So I destroyed it, and I took a clip of it, and I sent it to Bob. So.
Yeah. I tried as hard as I could to just shake my head so emphatically that it would make enough sound that people could hear it right now. That's just honestly not right, man. Like, you can't, you have to try it before you deny it, okay?
Nope, I just deny it. I don't want to be bombed. Like, no, being bombed sucks.
Doc, the amount of health and... the armor that it gives you is insane. You're not gonna die from the bomb.
Yes, you are.
No, you're not.
I've seen you die plenty of times. Plenty.
Okay. Plenty. Well, I died plenty of times before that came out too. Okay. Once that flag flips, I'm done. I'm looking at something else. Like, period. Yeah, end of story. Well, that's part of what comes next, but it's usually I'm usually in my map. First thing I do is like, all right. But to be fair, okay, how many times are you leading the group and you have to decide where we're going directly after? Okay, so when you got 23 people, you know, like, where are we going? Which no one has that anymore because PvP groups have still not been fixed. Just saying. But, you know, yeah, that's intense, man. You got to be prepared. So I would rather look at my map and know exactly what to do next and die and have someone revive me than not. So there you go. That's a confession.
Yeah, well, you could do it, you know, where you don't get other people's killed. You just go off to the side and be like, all right, this is my corner. No one come kill me in my corner.
No, then I'll get, like, solo ganked when I'm over in the corner. It's more embarrassing. Like, they'll go bomb the flag and then kill me on the way out while everyone's chasing them. And everyone'll be like, oh, wow, this guy over here is freaking moron in his map. All right, dog, let's finish off this news before we kill the rest of my charisma.
All right. So, and lastly, we both got our Ascendant Lord statues. So
we did.
Both came in, and they're both amazing.
They are very impressive. It's like in the last 3 years, they brought statues back with Greymoor. The Greymoor one, I like it, but it was just like gray. I don't know if they were like, well, it's in the name, so we're gonna make it all gray. But it's also tall, and I do like that, but it doesn't fit on my shelf, so that's kind of a thing. The Marin's Dagon one is painted, and it's cooler, but it is, like, heavy. So that's also a thing, and it's, like, really bulky. Like, it's, like, so it's kind of a thing. And also, when my mom saw it, she was like, what is that demon? And I was like, calm down, Mom. It's a Daedra, not a demon. But, so this one is, like, the perfect size. It's all painted. It's really well done. The only one thing I do say about it, and it's not even a complaint, it's just a fact about it, that I was telling Dog earlier, is like when you go to grab it, like your natural instinct is like to grab it from the guy, which would be fine with the last two because they're so thick. But like this one, the base is really the thick part. So like make sure you grab it from the base. I just feel like I'm going to rip that dude right off the sand like every time. I'm like, oh man, wait, don't do that. So, I mean, it's just my natural instinct, which everyone's probably going to be like, why would you do that anyways? I'm like, well, I don't know, okay? This is just how I lift things. Dog, how do you lift things?
Well, not like a barbarian, so. Yeah.
There you go. Like a barbarian.
Yeah, that's the best non-answer that I can give.
I don't know, man. It's just natural. Like, I gotta move it around. But yes, it's very cool. Dog, did you have anything else to say about it? Have you opened a letter with it?
I've not opened up a letter from it.
You know, I got a letter and I thought about using it, but I didn't. So guess that's my own bad. Next time, next letter, though.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap up the news for us, and we're going to get right into our Cyrodiil stuff. Not even going to talk about any fun Cyrodiil stuff other than the very awesome scores that are going on right now. We've got PC only has 7 days left. So if you guys want to go get your 50 transmute crystals per character, go in there right now. Go run around. You just stand at the gate. Look at your map. Wait till a castle is flagged if you have to. If you absolutely just don't want to do anything. I don't even want to touch PvP. Okay, whatever. Just wait till you see a castle flagged. then travel to the closest one, run there on your mount, and take that castle with your freaking friends. It'll give you 7k AP. And if you take any of the close resources, it'll give you 1.5k per resource. So you could get over 10k if you take all the resources and one keep. Do that twice. You have 20k AP earned in a campaign. Make sure it's your home campaign as well. Now, all you have to do is, like, I don't know, that one more time, or like just like literally fight and Cyrodiil, do anything. Just, you will earn 10k AP. Or even, it's not even 10k, it's 5k. You get to 25k AP, you earn the first reward tier of the campaign, and that's all you have to do. Never touch PvP again for the rest of the campaign, and in your mail will be delivered a beautiful 50 transmute crystals per character. Now, this is Grey Host I'm talking about. You gotta go in there and get up in there and do it. And make sure you're on DC, because we are so freaking close to the lead. And speaking of, in the lead is Ebonheart Pact at 68.596. We are right behind him, literally. 68.542. We're 50 freaking points behind these dudes. Let's go. We could take this and win in the last week. AD, they're back there at 64k, so, you know, have a good month, guys. Better luck next time. But, hey, they are making up for it on EU. They're leading things over there at 74k. Then EP is in second at 67k. And here we go, talking about leading and or trying to lead in NA, and here we are in last in EU. So we're at 65k. Trailing big, it's probably not looking so good, but we could still get second at the very least with 1 week left. So let's see DC move up. Dogged. Let's hear some Xbox scores, man. How is it going over there?
Well, it's not going good on Xbox. It's going really, really bad. For Xbox NA, there's 22 days left in the campaign. 80s in first with 25k, EP's in second with 24.2k, and DC's in last with 22.7k. So, just like PC EU, but, you know, not as big scores.
Wow. All
right, and then for Xbox EU, it's, you know, pretty much the same thing. AD in first with 29k, DC in or EP in second with 22k, and DC in last with 17k.
DC in the last. Way to go, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I've been on Xbox too, so it's partially my fault, man. I gotta get up in there and help them rise up.
Well, we had Emperor on Grey Host. We didn't have anything but the Imp Keep, but that's okay. We had Emperor.
Hey, man, that was that guy's year, you know? Like, he's done. He got M.
Yeah, he got M. He's holding M, so.
There you go. And on the PlayStation side of things, we got 22 days as well. On NA, EP is in the lead with 27k. That is going to be the second campaign that they have led so far of all the servers. DC is 4k behind them at 23k, and AD is at 22k. So that's actually pretty good, pretty close scores right there, for only being like a weekend. Then on the EU side of things, we got DC in the lead. DC in the lead, 25k. And it just feels good for DC to be in the lead, man. This is the only of the six servers we're leading. So thank you. Thank you, PC or PlayStation EU folks. You're doing great. Keep it up. AD, unfortunately, is right behind them at 24k. And EP is at 23k. So, man, that's the most hotly contested campaign of any server. And DC's in the lead of it, though. So that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, except for PCNA. Because, you know, It's only 50 yeah. points apart.
Yeah, to be fair, for the lead. But third place is still pretty far out. These ones, all three of them are separated by only 2K, so...
Yeah.
But it's fresher, too, so, like, it's... The NA one with only 1 week left is definitely like, whoof, let's go.
Yeah.
All right, so that's going to wrap up Cyrodiil stuff for us, and we are fully ready to, Oh, look, that only took us 26 minutes, dog.
Yeah, we're doing it.
We're doing it.
We're almost.
We've almost started. Way there. How many pages? Yeah, 3 pages in. Impressive.
Yeah.
No. We're on the third page. That's. Right. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we're That's only much 20% more realistic. Hooray.
So. We're going to go right on into it. Y'all have been waiting for High Isle just as much as we have. It's finally here. It took an extra bit of a wait today, but they worked really hard to make sure that they got it out to us, and it looks and feels fantastic. And it gave me and Dog plenty of time to prepare the patch notes episode. So we've got that ready to go for you guys. And we're just going to start right off the rip. I guess here, Dog, how do you want to break this up between ourselves?
We can just go with, like, every other one.
Okay. That should work, at least for a while.
Yeah.
So, to start off, right off the top, when you get to the High Isle Zone, which I'm not going to say which side of the map it's on, but... I hope you all have as much trouble finding it as I did, because, man, I felt like a fool. I was like, oh my god, did I not download the game? Did they not end up putting it out? Like, what is going on? Couldn't find it. And I finally found it, and I was like, wow, this is not what I was expecting. So, hope you guys have the same experience. But that was the only bad experience I've had so far, because I got in there and I've enjoyed everything since. And to start the main story, luckily they were very smart about it, and they're like, how can we do this best? Let's just put the freaking quest right next to the Way Shrine. So, first Way Shrine you travel into, it's gonna be right there next to you. Good old homie Jakarn is chilling there, ready to talk to you. However, I must add, I'm pretty sure I did that quest for the Rising Ascending Tide, like 9,000% sure I did it. I must have not turned in the quest, because Jakarn did not know who I was at all, so I don't know what that was about.
I mean, he could have been drunk, so...
Yeah, you're right, man. You never know.
Maybe he was drunk during that quest, maybe he was drunk during this quest.
He was in distress. I mean, you know, he'd just been captured and stuff during the quest.
Yeah. Both are very viable options.
I'll believe him for now.
All right. Next up, we have volcanic and lava vents. These are going to be world events. They're very eventful. The Sisters Archipelago is something of an island paradise, but every paradise has its problems. Each island in the archipelago is volcanic due to a greater or lesser extent. Due to certain recent events, tectonic shifts plague High Isle and Amenos, resulting in huge volcanic vents and smaller lava vents appearing throughout the islands. You can seek out these ruptures and calm them, defeating the monsters that pour forth and helping local druids settle the violence bubbling up from below. Seek out large volcanic vents and engage in group overworld content as you assist the druids in their efforts to calm the eruption. Volcanic vents will appear with an icon on your map when they are active. And I can't wait to try these out when they come on Xbox, because definitely looking forward to a new world event, so...
I am enjoying them 1,000%. I will definitely say it's much more reminiscent of like the geysers in Somerset. Not so insane like the dragons or the Harrow storms. And I really like the fact that they have, like, smaller ones, too. Because, like, you'll just run by it and it'll be, like, something you could do on your own. Kind of like in the base game where you have, like, the Daedric incursions that come upon you. But a little bit more, like, harder. I guess there's, like, a couple bigger enemies. But, I mean, in Overland, what really gets that hard, you know, if it's something you're going to be able to do by yourself anyways. So, yeah, well, yeah, I mean, but that's not something you're going to do by yourself, you know. So, the smaller ones, you're more, like, by yourself. The bigger ones, you're not going to do those by yourself. I was there with some other people, and when the big bad got on me, it was like, oh, man, I'm running in circles, and y'all could do some damage. So I've been enjoying them, though, and there is 7 on the map divided between the 2 islands. So very cool. And they drop jewelry just like, you know, dolmens and stuff like that would. So always good to get the jewelry cleared out for those new sets right off the bat. So next we have the new trial, which is Dreadsail Reef. So, with this, you can earn unique body and face markings, which are from completing it on Veteran. Unfortunately, no skin this time, just body markings and face markings. Hopefully, they're cool. You can also earn a unique mount if you complete all the achievements for the trial. So, I'm sure people would do it and lord that mount over me, and I will bow, you know, kowtow emote to them and say GG in chat, and that's just it. And there's a bunch of titles, of course, super cool, and unique housing items from various achievements as well. So, I really like how they're starting to add, like, here's some cool little extra stuff if you do achievements, you know, just like a furnishing thing, like, you know, it's not like super big, but it does mean something for the person that earned it, you know, so that's cool, especially when you have account-wide achievements now, which makes sometimes earning some things not as weighty. So like giving a little extra incentive really can make the difference.
All right, next up we have 6 delves. There's going to be 4 on High Isle and 2 on Amenos.
And if you guys are get there and you're looking at Amenos, you're like, how the hell? Yes, I know. If you go to the northern edge, like where you think you would go to swim over to Amenos, there should be an anchor, you know, a little logo right there, and that's going to be the little ship on the docks that will just take you right over to the Amenos side, and then you get the first way shrine and you're set.
Is it kind of like the what's it called, Skyrim, how like there's like a little section at the top right of the map where you can travel in that way, or
like to Blackreach and it's like a separate thing?
Yeah,
no, it's not like that. It's like it's all on the same map.
Oh, but okay.
Yeah. It's just kind of like a northern section of it that you have to like kind of get to.
Interesting.
But it is interesting to say that looking at the overall map, in comparison to other chapters, appears much smaller. But then when you're in the actual zone and like running around, it doesn't feel that small. It does feel probably smaller than other chapters, but other chapters have been unnecessarily big, especially like Somerset and Vardenfell. So I don't know. It feels like a good balance, but it definitely was a bit off-putting to see the size of it on the overall map where you could see all the other areas as well.
Yeah, so did you try swimming across there, or
I thought about it.
And then the first thing I'm gonna do.
It was the first thing I thought about, and I was like, there's gotta be a way.
Yep, I'm gonna do it, and when I find out, there's probably gonna be slaughterfish and I'm gonna die. And then I'm gonna tell everybody
is gonna be
in like 2 weeks.
There you go, man. 21st.
Yeah.
Why does it get out on a Monday for PC but on a Tuesday for consoles?
I don't know. They've been doing that like forever, so.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll be off that day too, so. All right, so we also have six world bosses as usual, and as well, you got I think four on High Isle and two on Amenos. So keep your eyes open for those. I got to do a couple today, and they felt like traditional DLC world bosses. So cool stuff.
All right, there's also going to be two public dungeons. Do you know where they are?
I believe one is located on each island, one on High Island, one on Amenos, but I'm not too particularly sure on that. But I do know that there is a pet to be created if you collect a certain amount of, you know, whatever combinable items from both. So there's nice. That. And then we have 9 full-length objective quests. So that's basically your story quests. There's 9 of them. Spoiler alert, the first one is, well, not... Okay, spoiler, I'm not going to spoil anything. It's just long, the first quest. That's all I was going to say. So I guess I don't need to put spoiler alert for that. But I feel like all the DLCs, their first quest is so long. They're like, let's just load a bunch into this first quest.
Yeah.
But
I think it's like that for like all DLC quests just in general. Just
like, yeah.
If they're like part of like a special like area, or they're for a companion, or they're part of the story, they're just like really, really long.
Yeah, for sure. Like, they're definitely way longer. Like, we kept, me and my girl were like, oh yeah, this is gonna be the end. And we're like, oh no, I gotta go do something else.
There's more.
There's more. Freaking A. So, yeah, it was long. We got done with the first one for sure. And then we wanted to start doing some other stuff. I got done with the card game tutorial, and I started one of the first companion quests, and then I finally had to stop and play with Dogged, so, or play with Dogged, talk with Dogged. We played No ESO today, but we do some days. Anyways, speaking of companions, how about these two new ones, Dog?
All right, so yeah, the first one is Ember, the streetwise spellcaster. She can be found at Tor Jaioch, just north of Gonfalon Bay. And then Ember will provide Ember's Intuition, which provides a chance to acquire hidden wallets of gold when pickpocketing.
Yeah, so both of these companions have a custom passive that gets applied to you when you have them on. Is that something they had with Miri and Bastion?
Yeah. Miri's is whenever you loot treasure chests, you get you can get like a little satchel of goodies, which normally gold, sometimes it's other stuff. Bastion occasionally gave you better potions.
Huh. Very interesting. I think both of these are better than those. I guess Isabel's is kind of the same as Mary's in technicality, but it is interesting.
Yeah.
And yeah, I went to go do Isabel's quest, and once again, clearly, I'm not going to say anything about any of this quest stories, anything, this entire thing. We're just talking batch notes, but I liked it, and like I said, it was longer than I thought it was gonna be, so I had to stop. I thought, like, I did the first part and I was like, oh cool, it's gonna end, and they're like, no bro, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh okay, I had to chill out for a minute, do some podcasting.
Yeah, and then, you know, speaking of Isabel, the honorable knight aspirant, Isabel Valois, can be found at Castle Navire on the southwest coast of High Isle. Isabel will grant the Isabel's Grace, which gives a chance to recover the pack of a slain knight when defeating world bosses, and that's gonna contain various supplies.
Yep. And companions still work basically the same, but they did get a small quality of life buff to them. Basically, they doubled the amount of companion skill progression gained from completing solo daily repeatable quests from the fighters, mages, and Undaunted guilds. Each quest completion will now provide the companion with a full rank of progression in the associated guild skill line. So that's pretty cool. And also, they made them strafe occasionally. Or what did it say? I have to find the exact word. Because
wait, yeah, here, laugh. I found it. Yeah, I forgot to put it over here.
Dynamically. They will now dynamically strafe.
Yeah. Which, yeah, so yeah, the companions are learning. They will now, you know, hopefully stay out of the big red circles, or instead they'll run out of the good blue circles into the red bad circles and so die. Which, I mean, trial and maybe, error, right?
Yeah, so basically maybe you won't see so many dog barks companions dead on the ground to revive when you're trying to fight a freaking world instance.
Oh, and then lastly, they also added a new minimal setting for companion reactions under the general section of gameplay settings to further reduce the likelihood of companions to verbally respond to player actions. And this will be so nice, especially for Miri. If I can limit her cussing to like 10 times a day while she's out and about, it'll be a miracle. Like, for real, though.
Of her fetching cussing?
Yeah. Yeah, she cusses so much all the time. And I don't even think loaded.
What the fuck are you talking about, man? She doesn't fetch and cuss at all.
She drops F-bombs anywhere. Like, I don't even think Lotus cusses that anywhere as much as Miri does. Like,
no, definitely not. Yeah, so if you guys are looking forward to any of those quality life updates for your current companions, they're going to be there, but also they're in the new companions that are there for you guys to go get too. And that's going to bring us to the wonderful, magical Tales of Tribute card game. And Dog, you have a very fat sack of notes in here for it. I'm thinking maybe we should not read them all, because it will basically be a whole episode on Tales of Tyranrio. Yeah. Or Tales of Tribute.
Yeah, well, Tales of Tribute, you need High Isle to do it, so I know pretty much nothing about it. So, have you tried doing it?
Yeah.
Or were you more into like the story?
So, let's just leave... Yeah, so... Let's just leave my description of it here as what we'll talk about it for this. And then when we have our full episode on it, we'll do a deep dive, which we're going to do more on it. But we're going to wait until Dog gets a chance to play it too. And I will try and put in a little bit of the patch notes here to it. So basically... If you haven't heard, which I know you all have, or you've been living under a rock, ESO is getting a card game. It is a deck building card game where you verse another opponent and you both combine four decks together and then choose throughout a river of cards. Blah blah blah. I'm not going to try and explain all the tactics and everything. The tutorial is there for you. There are plenty of videos for you guys to go check out. It's not really a describe by word kind of game, I'll tell you that. Plus, I don't know enough yet to even do that. So, there are plenty of decks for you guys to get. The tutorial, once you get through it, it will give you 4 decks. And I will already say, just from doing some stuff in High Isle, delves, quests, etc., I've already got fragments of other decks as well. So I don't think those are going to be something that's super like rare or hard to hunt. It's going to be something that's like you get pretty often. Maybe not even as bad as mythic pieces. I'm not entirely sure though, because I wasn't specifically going for anything. I was just getting drops of them. So we'll see how that goes. The quest for the tutorial is really fun. I don't know how easy necessarily the first game you play is against Braugus, who is voiced by God knows his real name, and I hope he never listens to this podcast. It'd be shamed on me because I didn't know his name. But he played Pippin in the Lord of the Rings. I don't know. I'm hoping. Now I'm really questioning my entire life. But he does a great, 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 great job with this character. It's absolutely fantastic. And it was a fun time getting to learn the cards. The only thing they in the tutorial they said that I couldn't grasp was they're like, oh yeah, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, what you're doing, what your opponent's playing. You could like strategize your next move and stuff, but you might want to also watch your opponents like catch up on their strategy too. It's like, and then they did the moves and it was so fast, and I was like, how am I supposed to know anything that just happened? So that was one thing for me. But other than that, you know, it was cool. It seems like you get, like, there's, like, coins, power, and prestige. So, like, you want to get more coins, spy cards, and then you have to put your power up as much as you can, because at the end of your turn, it turns into prestige, which is what you need to make the patrons look at you and want to win. So I guess that's about as best as I could describe it with words in also my slight drunkenness. But hey, it's not my fault because ESO didn't come up till 6, okay? So what's the guy supposed to do?
Oh, but the guy's name was Billy Boyd. I tried telling you that, but...
What guy?
Pippin.
Who... Yeah. Oh, Billy Boyd. I hope you are listening to podcast because dog name. Yeah,
I said something, but I was muted, so that's not very helpful.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
but we got it right. Someone got it right.
So you wrapped up the Tales of Tribute then?
Yes.
So you can earn some new antiquities. There's going to be the Druidic Provisioning Station, the Ancestral Breton Crafting Motifs, and these are leads from the treasure maps, most likely. They do it with, like, you know, every zone that they've come out with now, so that's pretty fun. It makes the treasure maps worth quite a lot of gold, especially when the DLC first drops, so if you're lucky enough to...
Yeah, I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to get any of the High Isle treasure maps, then might be able to sell them for a lot of gold. Like a lot of gold. You can also get the Night Hunter's Cowl, the Druidic Megalith, and the Golden Ship's Helm. And depending on how good it looks, I might be putting this on my ship in my house. Because, well, it's a helm, and I don't really know if I have a helm on my ship, so.
Oh, there you go. You gotta have a ship. So next we have the Storm Surge Body Markings, which can be obtained by completing the Dreadsail Reef Conquer achievement, which is beating the trail in Veteran. So there you go. We talked about them earlier, but there they are again.
You can also earn the Steadfast Society motif from doing Rogue Boss dailies. And then you can also earn the Stone Lore's Legends paint, which you get the body paint from completing the Ascendant Unmask achievement, and the face paint from completing the Life of the Party achievement. So I guess at some point you're going to be partying in the at High Isle.
Well, I would certainly hope so.
Yeah, so hopefully it's a good party, because, you know, no one talks about bad parties ever.
True, especially me. So next we have the one costume you can earn, the Courtly Traveling Attire costume, which can be attained by completing the Peace in Our Time achievement. I have no idea what that is.
Sounds like you're going to make a peace with something or somebody or someone.
Makes sense. Sounds real.
You have a couple of mementos you can get. The first one is the Crimson Bone Hammer, which is obtained by completing the Spire of the Crimson Coin public dungeon quest called Books, Blood, and Steel, or Blood, Books, and Steel. And the other one is the Ghost Haven Caravel Memento, which can be attained by completing the Ghost Haven Bay public dungeon quest, Buried at the Bay. Sounds very piratey. So I wonder if you'll run into a Kazka and Zachi there. You know, being pirates and all.
You never know.
You're right, I don't know.
You won't know until the 21st, right, there, dog. And I won't say anything else because I gotta keep my dumb mouth shut. But so next we have pets. And the one that you can earn from the dungeons, public dungeons I was talking about earlier, is the Coral Hajimoto pet. And you need to get 25 lures from Ghost Haven Bay and 25 decoys from the Spire of the Crimson Coin. And boom, all of a sudden you have a pet. So that's cool. Then the Riel Rescue Dog can be obtained by completing the quest Challenges of the Past from Tales of Tribute. So there you go. You get a pet from Tales of Tribute if you do the quests up to X amount, apparently. So that's pretty cool.
Alright. You can get the house guest Bragas. You can get him by completing the Tales of Tribute Master Achievement and Tales of Tribute. So I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and that's completing like the very last achievement for Tales of Tribute. You know, getting level whatever, or doing all the things or something. I don't know. Maybe it's like winning 100 games. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope it's not, though.
Oh, you don't want to win 100 games?
That sounds hard. I don't know if I want to play 100 games yet. So next we've got some of the new dyes. And there are quite a few. So we've got Chivalric Silver, which can be obtained by completing the Savior of High Isle. The Pyndonian Purple, which can be obtained by completing the Dread Cell Reef Vanquisher achievement. So that's just beating the trial on normal, not too bad. Then we have the Royster Cerulean Dye, which can be obtained through the Tales of Travel achievement. And we've got the Cardship Crimson Dye and the Patron's Gold Dye. So lots of good stuff, to be sure. Now, if you want that Patron Gold Dye, you're going to have to complete the Master Tribute achievement in Tales of Tribute. So
sounds like a very mastery feat. All right, next up we have 21 new titles. You can also get a new in closet for free travels. So that's usually like 3 or 4K gold. And then lastly, you can get many, many, many new furnishings. So many, many new furnishings are available with High Isle.
As it should be.
And now we are like halfway there.
Yes, we are halfway there, and that's why we're going to take our Robots Radio break to remind you all very quickly to check out robotsradio.net because it's awesome and there's amazing other podcasts there besides us. So thank you for listening and thank you for checking them out.
Hey there, my name's Jameson, or Big Cat.
And I am Brenna, or Mother Goose.
And together, we are the hosts of the DL, Weekly Gaming News.
Each week, we bring you the top stories from last week, as well as something you might have missed.
Our goal is to start a conversation about what's going on in the world of gaming.
And every week, we have a special guest join us in the chat room, where we discuss a different gaming-related topic and learn more about our guests in the 60-second download.
And if that isn't enough, we also have Slim Jims.
So come and hang out with us every week and join in on the conversation.
Good luck and have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.
All right, dog. So let's hop right back in. We've got some item sets to talk about, some of our favorite things. Of course, I'm just going to try and not get too in-depth into them and just read them off. But I do like the idea of this first one. We've got the light set for the overland of High Isle. This one's called the Blessings of High Isle. It gives you max magicka twice and one max magicka recovery on the way to its fifth piece, which reads, when you are healed while in combat, which you're always in combat, so if you heal at all, then there you go. Increase your weapon and spell damage by 369 for 5 seconds. It's not really the biggest spell damage buff. I think Scathing Mage or something is probably pretty similar, but I don't know. It's an unnamed buff, and it just like screams in my face. Dog, what did you think about this one?
Yeah, because it's an unnamed buff, I can easily see it becoming like meta in like trial groups or something. Just having one person slap that on.
Yeah, I definitely was like, I might just give this a try myself, as a matter of fact. So I've been kind of collecting the pieces as I go along.
Yeah. All right, the next set is Steadfast's Metal. This is the medium armor set. This one will give you some stamina recovery and 2 sets of max stamina. And then its fifth piece passive is, while you have a food buff active, reduce the cost of your core combat abilities by 25%. And that would be your Bash, Block, Break Free, Roll Dodge, Sprint, and Sneak. So this might be interesting for people that are like new to tanking or in situations where blocking just destroys your stamina. So having, you know, 25% extra might be nice. And yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. Because when I read that, I was like, what the hell is a core combat ability?
Yeah.
Definitely not sure how I feel on that, but yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Very situational.
Yeah, definitely. So last we have the Sistress Scowl, which is the heavy set, and we're just going to go right with the 5-piece. When you bash an enemy, play Sistress Scowl on them for 15 seconds. When hit by a light attack, a target with Sistress Scowl takes 1973 frost damage up to once every second. So yeah, like the other two, not so much as this one. It's just not really as exciting and doesn't seem like it has as great potential. So it's there, and if it's something you would like to do, if you got some like you know, tank frost specific theme build you're trying to do, there you go. But if not, then you probably won't use it. So let's get into the crafted sets now, dog.
All right. Well, the first one is a Druid's Braid, and we're about to get, you know, crazy, right? It's first piece passive, right? Or pass, yeah. We'll give you 1200 max health. Second and three, or 2 and 3 will give you max magicka, max stamina, 1100. 4-piece will give you 1200 more max health. 5 and 6 will give you 1550 max magicka, max stamina. 7 will give you 1700 max health. 8 and 9 will give you 1550 max mag and max stamina. 10 will give you 1700 max health. And 11 and 12 will give you 1550 max magicka, max stamina again. So, yeah, a lot of health, a lot of magicka, a lot of stamina. Definitely the first of its kind. It's not that great of a set, though. 3 pieces of armor, the trainee is better in comparison than this set because it's 1450 on max health, max magicka, max stam, where this one's 1200 health and 1100 magicka and stamina. So, yeah. It's interesting, but outside of it being interesting, I'm not really sure any use outside of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was more interesting when the bigger buffs were in the front of it. It was definitely like,
yeah.
But I don't know. Someone's going to use it, and I bet they make good use of it.
Yeah, I'm sure someone's going to use it.
But it's not going to be me, though.
It's not going to be me, no.
So let's move right on. We've got Order's Wrath, which adds crit chance 3 times, plus weapon and spell damage on the way to a five piece, which part of the five piece is adding more crit chance. So that's why I got an extra one there. Plus, the five piece increases your critical damage and critical healing by 8%. Now, I don't know about you, dog, but this one, this was to me the one that looked like it could be made of, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Especially yeah. craftable. Like, you don't have to farm it, you just make it gold. It could work for healers or DPS.
Yeah, this is definitely something that could be paired up with like Julianos or Hunting Rage and just be amazing to help like under 50 characters in PvE and stuff because like all that crit. And in a little bit of a comparison, the Medusa set gives you Minor Force, which is 10% crit damage, which is, you know, 2% more than this one. But you can get Minor Force from the Sigic Accelerate or the Fighter's Guild Trap Beast skill. So if you use that ability with Order's Wrath, then you're going to have some decent crit damage going on for you. So that'll be nice. Just make sure that you don't go over the crit damage cap of 125%, and you should be pretty good. And then the last crafted set in the zone is Serpent Sustain. Its fifth piece will give you it. The last crafting set in the zone is Serpent Sustain. Its fifth piece passive reads, increases the duration of status effects you apply by 16 seconds. And status effects is like your fire, lightning, shock, frost, and then whatever melee weapons do. So poison, disease, bleed. And I think there's a couple more. But yeah, like it just applies just extends those status effects by 16 seconds. So it's not that good.
Yeah, definitely not the best. Kind of a, once again, situational, like, interesting thing. All right, so let's get into the trial sets now of these patch notes. We've got the light DPS set first, Whirl of the Depths. It's going to give you the normal Minor Slayer is the three-piece and a weapon and spell damage twice on the way up. Now, for the perfected set, it will give you 657 crit chance, but for just the normal set on the five-piece, when you deal damage with a light attack, you apply Whirl of the Depths to the target, dealing frost damage over 8 seconds. When this effect ends, a 5-meter whirlpool is created under the target for 6 seconds and deals frost damage every 1 second. This effect can occur once every 18 seconds and scales off higher of your weapon or spell damage. So, yeah, I don't know about that one at all. I don't think that one's going to be super popular.
I don't know. I don't know. It definitely depends on how much damage it does.
Well, yeah, that's true. Like,
all right, the next set is Pillager's Prophet. This is the light armor for healing. It'll give you 4% healing done. Minor Aegis, which reduces your damage taken from Dungeon Trial Arena Monsters by 5%. It'll give you 1100 max magicka. The Perfected will give you some magicka recovery. And then its fifth piece passive reads, casting an ultimate ability while in combat grants 5% of ultimate spent as ultimate, up to a max of 20, to up to 11 group members within 12 meters, every 2 seconds, over 10 seconds. Group members can only be affected by this set every 45 seconds. So, this set is definitely interesting. You definitely need to do some math. And if you do the math, you would need 400 ultimate to get to the 20 ultimate back, or 5 ticks, so that would give you 100 ultimate total. This might be something that one healer or one tank will use in a trial, but I don't really know. 100 ultimate doesn't really seem like that much, especially since you need to have 400 in order to make good use out of it. It'll be interesting to see if this makes its rounds into the meta category for healing. Or I guess you're supporting.
Yeah, the heal support kind of niche is really interesting. You never know which set they're really going to like cling on to and make meta. So could be something like this. All right, so next we have Coral Riptide, which is the medium trial set. It's going to give you a 657 crit chance. Then Minor Slayer, which again increases your damage to dungeon trial and arena monsters by 5%. And then it's going to give you some weapon and spell damage on top of the way to the 5-piece, which if you have the perfected, it's going to give you extra crit chance. And if not, then the 5-piece is just going to increase your weapon and spell damage by up to 740 based on your missing stamina, reaching the maximum at 33% stamina. So, I don't know, for me personally, I don't really like playing, like forcing myself to play with that low of resources, like not ever wanting them to go that high. So it's probably not for me, but I know that people are out there, they're probably like going to lick their chops at that one. 740 extra weapon and spell damage is no joke.
Yeah, this set is very similar to Basai, I don't know, from Rock Grove and Blackwood. So that one is pretty meta. I don't know if it's still meta. I definitely don't like that one because it's like the same way. And I also don't like having little resources. So
would much rather have full resources.
Yeah. All right, the last set from the trial is Pearlescent Ward. This is the heavy armor set. This will give you 1,200 max health. Minor Aegis, which is reduces your damage taken from Dungeon Trial Arena by 5%. It adds 4% healing taken. And then the Perfected will give you 1,200 more max health. And then the 5th piece is grants you and up to 11 group members Pearlescent Ward. Pearlescent Ward increases weapon and spell damage by up to 180 based on the number of group members that are alive. Pearlescent Ward increases damage reduction from non-player enemies at a 60. Pearlescent Ward increases damage reduction from non-player enemies out of 66% based on the number of group members that are dead. Yeah. So when I was first reading this set, I was like, man, this is a really powerful tank set. But now that I've kind of like, you know, reread it, it's like, oh, it's like when when all your allies are being killed, you just become even more tankier. Which,
hey, that's one way to do it.
I guess that's not exactly what you want. Yeah, I guess you could like, you know, you could save some runs that way, but I don't know.
And with that, we're going to get into mythics right after. So these are the new mythics that came with High Isle. There's a good handful. First, we have the Doi Ra Sabatons. And for this one, while sprinting, you gain a stack of Draconic Scales. Yeah, every half second, granting you a bunch of armor up to 26 max. Upon stopping, you deal physical damage per stack in an 8-meter shockwave. Draconic Scales for 10 seconds, but cannot gain new max stacks. At 20 stacks, this damage will also stun for 3 seconds. The damage scales off the higher of your physical or spell damage.
This set sounds pretty amazing. But it probably won't be pretty amazing. But I don't know. If there's ever an instance where like you could just go full charge into a group of people and just like just stop and I guess stun everybody in your path, and I guess that'd be pretty cool. Maybe this might be something that you use in PvP on like a tank build. Maybe. Probably not. But I think that might be like the only actual use I could see out of it. All right, the next mythic is Left-Hander's War Girdle. Roll dodge no longer evades attacks and instead grants a damage shield that absorbs up to 21,000 damage over 1 second. This damage shield is unaffected by battle spirit. So that's a massive damage shield. So I think Bob was saying that he was saying something about this set. What were you saying about this set, Bob?
Just the fact that it would be interesting. I mean, it gives you such a large shield for 1 second. So, I mean, for me, isn't the same thing of a roll dodge evading an attack? I mean, if you get a huge shield that just gets evaporated, wasn't it the same thing in essence? But, I mean, all it probably comes down to how much things would cost, etc.
Yeah, that makes sense. Alright, the next mythic is Mora's Whispers. This one you gain up to 15-28 crit chance and 50% increased inspiration, alliance rank, alliance skill, and monster skill experience based off of how many books of Shadow the Warrior's library has been collected. I forgot that this was a mythic. So, I remember it being a thing, and then I remember not remembering that it was a thing. So, yeah, this would be interesting for, like, grinding, maybe. Especially for, like, crafting, if you're trying to level up your crafting stuff. This will be definitely nice for me when White Strix Mayhem, when that rolls around, just having that, if you have an open slot. Just put that on and you can get 15% more alliance rank, alliance skill. So, yeah. I think it's definitely going to be pretty useful.
So next we have the Oaken Soul Ring, which I got to say, in the patch notes, they did not specify the one barness, even though we all knew it was going to happen, but it was interesting. However, this one is the one bar mythic, so when equipped, you are unable to swap between your front and back bar, but the amount of stuff it comes up with might be worth it to check out. So this one gives you all these buffs. You got Major, Berserk, Courage, Brutality, Sorcery, Prophecy, Savagery, Force, and Resolve, and Heroism. So, absolutely crazy amount of buffs, but it limits you to one bar, so you have to build around that very specifically.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting set. That's just a lot of major buffs to have up at all times. Like, Heroism, that'll give you ultimate, like, all the time. Courage, that's nice damage buff. Where is it? Oh, Major Force, that's I think 20% crit damage at all times. So pretty much what this ring does is, like, whatever damage you put on a trial dummy is actually legitimate. Like, so if you have like a one bar 120k DPS on a trial dummy, and chances are you probably have a 120k DPS on anything else. So definitely interesting. The last mythic that you can get is Sea Serpent's Coil. While at full health, you gain 40% damage reduction. After taking damage while at full health in combat, you gain Serpent's Rebuke for 10 seconds, sparing yourself by 40% and gaining Major Berserk and Major Courage, increasing your damage done by 10% and weapon and spell damage by 430. The damage reduction does not apply while Serpent's Rebuke is active. So this is just a nice little mythic where you're, at full health, you're tanky, So you pretty much can't get one shot or ganked easily. And then when you get hit by something, that's when you can't move very fast, but you do a lot of damage. So very interesting set.
All right, so coming out of these other mythics, we do have some other item sets that have been touched up on. So these item sets now scale based off ultimate spent instead of ultimate cost. So that's kind of intriguing.
The following item sets now scale based off ultimate spent instead of ultimate cost. This will be Lamia's Song and the Witch Twin Armor. That's pretty interesting because, like, they started going with ultimate spent instead of ultimate cost. So I think they're just now, normalizing everything to be, like, ultimate spent. So it's pretty nice.
Yeah, that is good. It's good when they normalize things. So items that belong to the Night Mother's Embrace set have been renamed to items of Mother's Embrace to avoid confusion with items that belong to Night Mother's Gaze set because there's just too many Night Mothers. So it was always like that. And whenever people were like, yeah, Night Mothers, is like, what? Because there's two. So no, it won't be.
Yeah, it's been confusing people for many years and now it won't. So, all right, they updated the visual effects for the following sets so that they no longer are visible to enemies. Hercene's Veneer, which is green orbs, it gives you like 4% stamina spell reduction. Sanctuary, which increases your people's healing received by like 15%, I think. Worm's Ramiant, which is decreases the cost of magical skills by like 4%. And yeah, I wonder if they forgot Ebon or if Ebon just still shows to enemies. But it's going to be a bit weird, not sticking out like a sore thumb with my Christmas balls, you know, blowing all around me while I'm in Cyrodiil on certain healers, like my Nightblade, which has the Ebon and the Ebon and Sanctuary, which is nice because I can cloak, but still a lot of people charge after me like, you're not supposed to be here. And yeah, similar to that, they updated the tooltips for the following item sets to state that their bonuses persist through death: Ebon Armory, Hercene's Veneer, Sanctuary, and Worm's Radiant. So even in death, the healer or tank can still provide benefits. So they just can't heal, or, well, tank. But if you're close to them, they can still help you-ish.
And now for monster sets, before we close this episode out, we've got Tremor Scale. So they increase the duration of the set's effects to 15 seconds, up from 8, almost a double. They increase the cooldown by 10 seconds. They increase the damage done by approximately 4%. And now this set now reduces the armor of the enemy by 8%, other than the physical of your physical or spell resistance.
So yeah, that's a pretty interesting change. I don't really know what Tremor Scale is. I know where it comes from. It comes from Volanfell, but outside of that, I don't know what that set does. So, pretty interesting. Kind of curious how it will do, if people are going to start picking it up or not. Alright, next up we have Drakkarkin's Grip. This set now increases all of your damage done by 330 and reduces your healing taken by 10%, rather than causing your direct damaged attacks that cause enemies to take 617 more damage from your attacks for 6 seconds, once every 9 seconds. There's a dev comment on this. This set has long been a staple set, providing an immense amount of sustained damage with some builds in single target, where stacking sources of minor damage causes that to multiply in power to a staggering degree. While we like the gameplay that the set was enabling before to help attrition builds pushed out some damage, Its application felt too overwhelming in single target and the reverse in area of effect. In addition, attrition builds naturally deal less damage and are harder to kill, so gaining a source of power with nails, scaling requirements, or drawbacks created a situation where it was too powerful on bruisers such as Dragon Knights and Necromancers. The ability to apply to all damage at a lesser extent helps it bring some power to area of effect encounters while also reeling back some of its single target pressure, while the healing debuff ensures that even tank builds feel a bit of the bite in their ability to stay in the fight. So, interesting dev comment there. I remember seeing a video of like of a Draugrkin, so I think people are liking this change, so definitely interesting. Next up, we have Marsalok. This set now dynamically scales with the higher of your weapon or spell damage rather than only your weapon damage. And then the damage from this set now increases by 10% per negative effect, up from 2%, but has a cap of 300% rather than no cap. So Marsalok was, I would say, he's probably slightly buffed there. Alright, you want to do Zahn?
So, yes, dogged for Zahn. My favorite sets, they got some changes on there. It's a bit frustrating, but you know, it is what it is. Every set's going to get touched up every now and again. So basically, they lowered the base damage a bit and changed the way it works. You're really going to be focused on the tether now, which is 2 seconds longer than it used to be. But it also is always going to apply the burning status effect to the people it touches. And anyone who touches that tether, physical tether now, will also take damage from the skill. So that's a really cool thing. And I don't think it'll be too bad. Basically, in their developer comment, they're just like, you know, other things have surpassed it, and it's not really working the way right now that we wanted it to. So, like, we're going to try and beef it up a bit. So, it's not really a nerf. It's just a change of fundamentals to see if they could get it working in a different manner.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I hope it turns out good, but we'll see.
Alright, next up we have a Harpooner's Waiting Kilt. They reduce the duration of the stacks granted from the set to 20 seconds, down from a minute. And they reduce the crit chance granted to 110, down from 125. And then there's a dev comment that reads, we're toning down the duration of the set to enforce the need to stay in the fight and help this set become slightly more contextual than it is now. As it is overshadowing a lot of other mythic items in power and use by a significant margin. The reduction in crit chance isn't huge, but it also helps shorten the gap ever so slightly against other options. So,
yeah, I don't know. This one was an interesting kind of slight nerf in my eyes, but it doesn't feel like that heavy of a nerf at the same time. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
So next we have the Shapeshifter's Chain. So this set now also reduces the cost of werewolf active abilities by 15% to help it stand up in power for all transformation ultimates.
I don't really get that change because, werewolf, you know, the ultimate did cost stuff too. So maybe just like costs a lot less or something, but I don't know. That one's kind of weird. And then lastly, we have the Shadow Dancer's Raiment. This set now causes you to dodge all incoming attacks with 1 second after leaving stealth or invisibility with an 8 second cooldown, rather than causing you to ignore the movement speed penalty of sneak. This set will no longer grant an extra 129 stam recovery on its 5-piece bonus because of this. This will be interesting if Sandblades start using this. They probably won't because they want to go for like something more damage related. But all right, this could be very problematic if with Sandblades or I guess any Nightblades because you can go invisible with you know cloak and stuff. So and as soon as you leave cloak, even just for 1 second, you now invade, or you're now gonna ignore all attacks, or you're gonna dodge all attacks. So that's gonna be very problematic in PvP, especially on Xbox, where some skills take like a solid second or two before they decide to fire off. So definitely going to be interesting. I really hope people don't start using it, but I have a feeling that some people will. So, all right, and then that wraps up this section of the patch notes.
Yes, my dude, we've made it to the first half here of this patch notes, just by the hair on our chinny chin chichinsky chin. So before we get too punny or too asleep, I'm gonna go ahead and get us through the outro. Dogged, you get us through the outro. Where can people find us if they're looking for us real quick?
All right, you can find us on Twitter of the @RedDiamondCast. You can find us in the Facebook of the Red Diamond Courier. You can find us in our ESO PC or Xbox Guild of Heirs to the Red Diamond, which you can join on the Robots Radio Discord from robotsradio.net.
And if you check the show notes, you'll find all kinds of awesome stuff, like links to everything that we want you to see, music producers, sponsors, all the cool stuff. Plus, you can go leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and make our freaking day. So, got all that kind of cool stuff. And if you're looking for me, it's Bob Chinsky everywhere. And Dog, it's about the same for you, right?
Yep, I'm DogBark24 everywhere.
And you'll also find us very directly on the next episode of the cast, which, there you go. It'll be out for your listening pleasure shortly after this one is. So, yeah. We'll get right back at you, and we hope you guys are enjoying the High Isle patch notes.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Hey, I'm Tom.
And I'm Stuart.
And we're from the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
We talk about all things connected to D&D lore.
And we're on the Robots Radio Network. So if you're into Dungeons & Dragons or you're into lore, then come check us out. You can find us on any podcatcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts.
Roll more dice.
That's the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.